morning, honorable members. Good morning.
You have an agenda ahead of you. Essentially, honorable members, today we're going to get a briefing from our legal services on the Mugwebi Jiva matter. Members will remember that the last joint committee meeting that we had with the Portfolio Committee on Justice, we took certain decisions which would outline the parliamentary process in terms of this matter. I don't want to say much on the matter because legal services will actually deal with procedural matters that unfolded as a result of the decisions of that meeting. Just to indicate that in terms of apologies, we have just received one apology from Mr. Seleku. Without further ado, I'm going to hand over to Siziwe to take us through a legal briefing. Thank you.
Sorry, sir, it might have been an oversight from our side. Honorable Nita has also forwarded an apology.
Okay, we accept the apology.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, members will recall that in the last meeting, one of the decisions that was taken was that we will give an opportunity to both Advocate Jiva and Advocate Mugwebi to make representations to the committees in respect of the decision that the committee is required to make by in terms of Section 12 of the NPA Act. The letters were issued to both of them. They were given 10 working days within which to make representation to Parliament. Advocate Mugwebi on the 26th, if I'm not mistaken, responded to the committee and made very substantive submissions on why he believes that he should be restored to the office. On the other hand, Advocate Jiva hasn't made any submissions. What she has opted to do instead was to approach the courts for a review of the decision of the president to remove her from office and to review the findings of the Mohoro inquiry in as far as they relate to her. And that members brought a different turn to the events. Upon being served with the court papers, we received a letter from her attorneys advising Parliament that they have now decided to approach court to review these two decisions, and that in their view, the fact that that matter of the review is pending before court against the President and the Mohoro Commission invokes the sub judice rule, which in essence suggested that Parliament must stop its process in as far as consideration in terms of Section 12 is concerned. We prepared a draft response for Parliament to that letter, and we took a position that we do not agree with the submissions that the sub judice rule has been invoked. When Parliament initiated its process, there was no pending litigation. In other words, Parliament was entitled to initiate the process at that time. Secondly, we are dealing here with a statutory process, which in nature is peremptory. So it is not up to Parliament to decide not to comply with the statutory provisions. Parliament is actually obligated to comply with the statutory provisions within the prescribed time limits, or as reasonably possible after that, if there is any reason why we could not comply with the 30 days. We also made the point in our letter that these are two separate decisions. The decision by the President to remove her, which was effective from the 26th of April, is a separate decision to the one that Parliament has to make of whether to restore or not. And therefore, these are reviewable separately from each other. In other words, they had enough time to review that decision long before Parliament has initiated its process. And we indicated that we will only stop if there is a pending court action in respect of the parliamentary process, not the president's process. That has triggered another set of events which culminated to what happened yesterday. Yesterday then, we were served with a court application by Advocate Jiva's attorney, wherein now they make an urgent application to the Western Cape High Court for an interdict to stop the process of Parliament to consider the matter of Advocate Jiva. Now, it has come closer to what we thought they should have done initially, in as far as how they stop, because Parliament has no discretion unless there is a pending matter before court. So they have decided now to submit that, and it's going to be decided tomorrow. As I'm speaking to you now, a colleague of mine is consulting. We are required, in terms of the notice that we received yesterday, to file our answer to their papers by 11 o'clock today, so that the matter can be ready for a hearing tomorrow morning. In our advice to the Speaker's office, we had advised that it seems, in the manner the matter has proceeded, it's not necessary for Parliament to oppose the interdict. But Parliament needs to file a notice to abide and file an explanatory affidavit as to how we came to a decision not to stop the process without a court action. So that is what will be happening between now and tomorrow. And the matter will be heard, and we will know what the court's view is going to be on the process of Parliament. But that relates specifically to to Advocate Jiva. It does not apply to Advocate Mukwege, who has made submissions to the committee. This morning, when we came in, we received a letter from Advocate Jiva, Mukwege. In his letter, in essence, he is saying, I have now become aware that Advocate Jiva is going to court to review the decision of the President and the findings of the Mohoro Inquiry. From what I understand, the matters that she is raising in court are similar to the matters that I am raising with Parliament. And therefore, I am of the view that, in view of the similarities between these two cases, you should not proceed with your consideration of my restoration or not in the similar way that you should be doing with Advocate Jiva. Now, I think the best advice I can give at this moment, Chair, is that we have to adopt the same position that you adopted in respect of Advocate Jiva. Mr. Mukwege is not before court, has not filed any application. So there is no obligation on this committee to cease its process in as far as Advocate Mukwege is concerned. The obligation or the deference to courts only applies to where there is a pending matter, and there is only one pending matter at this moment, and that is that of Advocate Jiva. So the same principle of a statutory provision which Parliament has to comply with applies in respect of Advocate Mukwege until he is before court. So I know that is not very much helpful to you because you have other things to consider as to how it will pan out in terms of issues of fairness at the end of the day. But that is the best advice we can give, and we will leave it in the hands of the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Sibiwe, for that input. Honourable members, if we can give an indication who would like to raise questions of clarity firstly. Thank you. Honourable Mikalakis.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want some clarity over here. The application filed by Advocate Jiva cites the Speaker of Parliament as a second respondent. Now, there is no such thing as the Speaker of Parliament. There's the Speaker of the National Assembly, and there's the Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces. The Speaker of Parliament is something that doesn't exist. Now, if she applies for an interdict against the Speaker of the National Assembly, then it means that there would be no interdict granted that would bind the Select Committee or the National Council of Provinces. I just need clarity and your position on that. Because, well, it's firstly very frightening that that legal minds of such a seniority are under the impression that there's something as Speaker of Parliament. But to what extent does that actually affect us as the National Council of Provinces? We're not cited in these documents, and does the application then, in any event, pertain to our workings on this side? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Dutton.
Thank you very much as well, Honourable Chair. I think the report itself is quite comprehensive, but there is only one point that I want to clarify. I hear the legal advisor saying what we are doing in court is to provide an explanatory note and not challenging the interdict. Can you clearly explain this? Are there similarities? And if there are not, why are we not confronting this particular matter so that we lay to rest? I'll come back in terms of how I think the process must unfold. Honourable Chair, thanks.
Any other member? Maybe from my side, maybe you could also give a more in-depth explanation or view of Jiba's issues that she raises in her court application.
Thank you, Chair. If I may start with the first question. This is a common mistake that many litigants against Parliament make of citing the Speaker of Parliament, and indeed in law or in the rules, that does not exist. The Constitution speaks of the Speaker of the National Assembly and the Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces. But in our interaction with various litigants, we have come across this mistake. It may have an impact at a later stage. It's a matter that you can raise in your answering papers as an issue of non-joinder, because the responsibility in terms of the NPA Act is placed on Parliament. Now, we know in terms of the Constitution, Parliament is constituted of two houses, that's the NCOP and the NA. If you cite one house and not the other one, so the respondents are entitled to raise the issue of non-joiner. In other words, you have not joined a party that is critical to the proceedings. So I think that is an issue that my advocate and my colleague are dealing with now in their answering papers in the chambers. So that will be raised as an issue of non-joiner, to which they must respond. And I suspect they are not going to challenge it. They will simply amend their papers and cite the correct parties. So it does not necessarily dispose of the litigation which they have initiated, but it's an issue that Parliament should raise with the court and with the applicants. On the issue of abiding versus opposition, maybe I should have explained a little bit more, Chair, on why we took the approach that we took. Chair, you will remember the main review by Advocate Jiba relates to the decisions made by the President and the decisions or findings of the Mokgoro Commission. Those two have no relation to Parliament as a separate arm of state. So we do not want to put Parliament in a situation where it has to go to court and defend or explain decisions that are made by other arms of government. The presidency is part of this litigation. They will be going to court to explain how they arrived at the decision that they have come to. The Mokgoro Commission is cited as a commission. I don't know if they are
going to be before court to explain how they reached their findings. But we thought, in the interest of separation of powers, let the President explain how he came to his decision. Parliament can only defend its decision once it has come to that decision. It is not for us. That's why we will file a notice to abide, accompanied by an explanatory affidavit why we are taking the approach that we are taking. Chair, the application by Advocate Jiba is it is quite an extensive application. It is in two parts. There is part A, wherein she seeks an interim interdict or an interim order. In terms of that interim order, she wants to review and set aside the decision by the President and the National Director of Public Prosecution to remove them from office with effect from the 26th. Secondly, she wants to be reinstated pending the review of the decision in Part D. And then she wants to stay the process of Parliament for the consideration of her removal. That is Part A. Part B, in essence, raises a number of constitutional issues. But in essence, they are saying Section 12 of the MPA Act, which is the trigger for the parliamentary process, is unconstitutional in the sense that it only prescribes a simple majority for the removal of the Deputy National Director of Public Prosecution. In their view, a simple majority does not provide sufficient protection for an independent office like the National Director of Public Prosecution. In other words, they feel that Parliament should only be able to remove a National Director, a Deputy Director, by a two-thirds majority, as it is the case with the Public Protector. That is a constitutional matter, and as some of the members may remember, the issue came up in the certification judgment a while back when our democracy was being established, because the Public Protector in the first draft of the Constitution was being removed by simple majority. But the Constitutional Court did not agree on that. So I think they are riding on that, that if it's good for the Public Protector, it should be good for the National Director of Public Prosecution. And of course they want to set aside the whole report, and they want to set aside the decision of the President. That is Part B. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Our members, is there any other comment or request for clarity based on this presentation? Honorable Dodoro?
Chair, it's a comment. Personally, I would love that as soon as the court processes are complete, this matter must be expedited. It must be brought to this committee so that it is brought to finality. I'm saying this because the instability within the National Prosecuting Authority has taken place for a very, very long time. And this matter that is before this committee, it is a matter of national importance because it is at the heart of dealing with crime and corruption in this country. Therefore, it is quite important that we have stability at the top echelons of the National Prosecuting Authority. And therefore, as I'm saying, as soon as all these processes are complete, yes, I stand here to say I respect the right of anybody to litigate, and in this instance, the litigants on this particular matter. There is nothing, because we are enjoined by the fact that we need to respect the legal processes and the court processes, as it were. But my point of emphasis is that as soon as this matter is complete and all the necessary court processes are complete, this committee must speedily resolve this particular matter. We must, it must come before us. We must deal with it in relation to the procedural aspects thereof, that we have given the two litigants an opportunity to make submissions before this committee, and accordingly we need to sit down and consider those in relation to the decision that was taken by the president. I think in that case it is quite fair, but the point is this matter must be expedited. It will be in the best interest of our country and in the best interest of our criminal justice system that we lay this particular matter to rest, and that the NPA is doing what is expected of it in terms of Section 179 of the Constitution, namely that it must prosecute criminally on behalf of the state, and that is quite important for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Bandanella.
Thank you, Chair. Actually, I fully agree with Honorable Tutu. I just need, from the legal point of view, the JIBA issue, there's a matter before court. If I understand you correctly, there's actually nothing the committee can do at the moment. But the letter that you said you received this morning, if you can perhaps maybe, from the legal point of view, just explain what is it actually mean, that letter to this committee.
Maybe just to clarify, it's not that there's nothing we can do. I think it's tomorrow when the court will actually take a decision as to whether we're being interdicted or not. Thanks. Sylvia?
Chair, the letter we received this morning is just a request from Advocate Mukwebi that given the litigation that is going on between JIBA and us and the President, that he requests that we stop the process in respect of him as well. So like I indicated in my intro, given that he is not before court, there is no legal obligation for the Parliament to stop its process. But it's a matter that the committee can deliberate and make a decision on. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Members, Honourable De Dovo?
No, I was just saying in relation to that, my firm proposal is that we must put the two cases in abeyance up until the court processes are complete. And as soon as they are done, we deal with them quite simultaneously and quite comprehensively. So that's my proposal. Thanks.
Honourable Mpayela?
The answers that our legal team preparing for JIBA, those answers have reached JIBA or just the proposal answers? I just want to know. There are answers that our team are preparing to answer JIBA's proposal. Those answers how far have we gone with those answers?
Did you get that on the
receiver? Okay. You said to your presentation, JIBA has decided to take other routes. Now you are preparing others for JIBA's routes now. Now what I want to know is that with your answers, how far have you gone? Are you those answers are proposal answers for us to approve it, or we have gone as rich JIBA's legal team?
Honorable Payela is referring to the legal papers that we've been preparing.
Yes.
Chair, we haven't responded to the court papers. The response I was referring to initially was to a letter which he had addressed to Parliament requesting a stay of process. But we have to file our answer by 11 o'clock today to advocate.
Honourable Nikolaki?
Let me just understand this clearly again. She is applying for interdict from court to prevent Parliament from doing what the law tells Parliament to do. Am I right?
Thank you, Honourable Members. I think we've exhausted our questions for clarity. I take it that's where we are, Honourable Members, unless anybody has anything else to say. Okay. Okay, Honourable Members, I think it cannot be said that in terms of our statutory obligations, we, as a Committee of Security and Justice, have tried as much as we could to ensure that we stick within the 30 days or the reasonable time possible. But given what has now transpired in terms of the legal, in the legal arena, and in terms of what members are saying, I think it would be prudent that we wait for the outcome of the court tomorrow in terms of the interdict. And following that, we can then take them, this matter forward. And just to reiterate what Honourable Zadova said, is that we would want to see this matter finalised as soon as possible, and also in light of the fact that we also want to be to see stability in the National Prosecuting Agency and ensure that this agency, amongst the others that deal with matters of corruption, are able to fulfil their responsibilities. Honourable Nicolaki is officially closing, but Alvin.
Chairperson, thank you. I would just like my alternative view to be noted. I, with respect, do not agree with what you are suggesting, for the simple fact that there's a statutory obligation before Parliament to follow the law and to make sure that we stick to the deadline or as close to it as possible. That's firstly the one point. The second point is 30 days has passed, or more than 30 days has passed, and now all of a sudden there's an interdict conveniently around about the time that we are sitting as a committee again. There is no interdict before this committee at this moment. But there is an urgency application to interdict us right at this stage when the decision actually needs to be made without an explanation why this interdict application hasn't come earlier. In my opinion, it would be absolutely futile to think that Parliament should be stopped in this process simply on those basis. I would be of the opinion that we have every right to continue to consider the letter of the President. So I respectfully do not agree with your position, and I think Parliament should fulfil its statutory obligations despite that. Thank you.
Okay. Honourable Chair, I think as you point out, it is quite important that this matter must be finalised. And we are all agreed that it must be finalised. But at the same time, we must also understand that whatever that we do must pass the test of legality. It must be proper, it must be substantive, and it must be procedurally correct. Now, as I understand the legal advisor here, Parliament was interdicted, and the case is sitting tomorrow. Whether they are playing games or what, for me, it is neither here nor there. But once there is an interdict, interdicting the process of Parliament, as I understand, we are obliged, we are obligated to respect that process because it is a legal process, it is a process of law. That is why I said it is quite important that when all these court things come to an end, we must expeditiously attend to this issue. That is the first point. The second point, as I understand, we are considering the decision of the President in terms of Section 12 of the NPA Act, which says within 30 days or reasonably so thereafter, we must consider this particular point. I think in the last meeting of the Joint Committee, we made a very, very important decision because We are independent from the government. We are separate from the government. We have our own procedures to follow. That is why we said to the two litigants, please give us the written submissions, because we want to afford them that opportunity to be heard and to present themselves, something that they have done. But at the end of it all, they have one of them has interdicted this particular process. And in my view, as we are concluding, this is what we must understand, we must accept, even though it places us in a very untenable situation, because all of us, irrespective, want to finalize this matter. And I can guarantee you, it will be finalized. It must be finalized for the best interest of our criminal justice system. As you are concluding, I fully agree with you that the two matters are similar that are before us. One has interdicted, the other one has not, has just written us a letter. But let us consider them once and for all as a common process that is before us, as we have started, as we were dealing with this particular matter. And as I understand, the court case is tomorrow. And after tomorrow, we would know what is the situation. And I would sincerely suggest that, as I pointed out, you immediately convene a meeting of this committee to consider this based on the outcomes of the court. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Dodobo. So, Honorable Members, we'll await for the outcome of the court proceeding tomorrow, and thereafter we'll reconvene to take matters further. Thank you, and I close.
Thank you. My morning can't be good if I see you here.
How can you say
what are you doing? My morning can't be good if I see you here.
Eliminate me from...
But it's nice that we're working together on this one.
Yeah, no, I'm
happy with the last one. I'm more of an environment.
I'm more of a...